My wife and I had tried to get pregnant and were ecstatic when he was born. He was wanted and loved. We showered affection on him and really tried the best we could to give him a happy childhood. But from the day we brought him home from the hospital, he was miserable. He cried for 13 months straight. I'm not exaggerating. 13 months without a break. He cried until he had no voice left, and then kept crying. You could see his little face scrunched up, and no sound coming out. Totally hoarse. There were times where he would literally cry in his sleep. I've never seen or heard any other kid be able to do that. We brought him to the doctors, specialists, tried changing his diet, held him, rocked him, toys, swaddling, music, everything we could think of, and nothing worked. 13 months of grating, grinding, no sleep, hell. Once he got over the crying stage, we thought we were out of the woods, but it quickly became clear that for some unknown reason, he was just angry to be alive. I never saw that kid have a genuine, joyous smile in all the time that I knew him. I've seen a vicious, horrible grin spread across his face many times, taking perverse pleasure in causing pain and suffering. Never once did I ever see a genuine smile on his face. Not once. He had no interest in anything positive. He was fueled by hatred, and everything he did was bent toward that. As soon as he could walk, his mission in life was to destroy things. He tried to break everything that came into his range. Smash it, chew it, throw it in the toilet, whatever he could do. After a while, he figured out how to get his diaper off and took great pleasure in shitting and pissing everywhere he could. After a while, he figured out he could hide it and started urinating and defecating in places that we wouldn't find it right away, grinding it into carpets, making it even more of a problem to clean, making the house stink. When he got older, ages 9 to 15, he would piss and shit in our bed until we got a lock on our door and he wasn't able to get in anymore. He then just took a dump in the hallway in front of our room. That biological warfare started around 2.5 years old, and he never grew out of it. I'll try to speed this up, as I could literally go on for days about this stuff. But as he grew older, he became more and more unmanageable. He would bite, kick, scream, scratch, and spit at anyone who tried to do anything with him. He was kicked out of school twice before he was 9. They let him back in, and then kicked him out for good. He had to change schools. The next one put him in a special class that kept him away from other students. We had to install a door and lock in the kitchen because he would steal knives and use them to gouge the walls and furniture or chase people with them. When he was 10, he stabbed me pretty good in the hip and ass. I still have the scars from it. As he grew older, he got darker. He moved on to setting things on fire and torturing the local animals. I will take this opportunity to preempt the tsunami of messages. Yes, we had the kid in fucking therapy. He saw a psychiatrist twice a week, and God only knows how many different medications were prescribed to him over the years. Nothing worked. Therapy didn't work. The meds did nothing. Nothing fucking worked. He was like a poison cloud of hate and fury, lashing out at anything in his reach. When my son was 16, my wife got pregnant again. I can't tell you how different our reaction was. Instead of joy, we felt horror. This pregnancy hadn't been planned, and we were really at a loss of what to do. My son had been such an unending nightmare for 16 years. We couldn't take the idea of starting again from the beginning. We talked about termination, but A, that process wasn't so easy in those days, and B, my wife is very against it. We talked about many options. In the end, we decided that my wife would have the baby, and if it turned out evil, we would put it up for adoption. We just knew we couldn't go through this again with another child like our son. We had a daughter, She was normal. Suddenly, we saw what our lives should have been like the whole time. She laughed at things, she breastfed without biting, she didn't have any teeth anyway, but you can tell she was just trying to eat, not tear her mom's breast off. After 4 months, she was sleeping through the night. She was happy, normal. I can't describe the relief and happiness we both felt. I don't have words for it. This is where I believe I may have started pulling back from my son. Up until that time, whatever mistakes I made, I'd always tried to do the best for my son. I'm convinced of that. I tried to help him, love him, and care for him. I really tried. But when my daughter was born, my wife and I both instinctively turned toward her. She became our focus, not from malice, but just because she was so much easier. She was so happy and sweet. Every moment we were with her felt like magic. I understand that this was wrong, but we honestly couldn't help it. I don't have a better explanation than that. My son hadn't given a shit about my wife being pregnant. I honestly don't know if he really understood it. But when we brought our daughter home, he started acting out even more. I didn't think it was possible, but he took it up another notch. At this time, he was around 17, and we were having full-blown shouting matches every day. Usually after we fought, he would storm out of the house and disappear for hours at a time, or come back the next morning. It was a relief. I actually started to look forward to our fights, because it would get him away from us for a while. After the birth of our daughter, my relationship with my son was almost entirely gone. Our only real interactions were screaming at each other. My wife was even worse with him. She just had nothing left. By that time, if our son came into the same room as her, she would just stop whatever she was doing and start screaming, "Get the fuck away from me. Just go away. Get the fuck out." Until he left. He started spending more and more time out of the house, which was a blessing for us. I have no idea what he got up to out in the world. We were just happy that it wasn't being inflicted on us. As a consequence of our son's behavior, we had invested heavily in locks around the house. All of the cheap, thin interior doors in our home have been replaced with thick, dense, wooden doors that could not be kicked down, equipped with locks that my wife and I carried the keys to. I know this sounds extreme, but locks and heavy doors were the best way we found to create a safe space from him. And again, before I get endowed with messages, I wasn't locking my son away in his room like some kind of prisoner. He had free rein in the house and could come and go as he pleased. My wife and I would lock ourselves in rooms to protect against him. If anything, we were prisoners in our own home. On the day in question, I fought with my son in the morning. My wife and I were enjoying some peace and quiet in the kitchen while our daughter napped in our bedroom. And then, my daughter began crying. Any parent who has young children can tell you, you get used to your child's cries, and you can tell after a while what they need. And they cry differently when they're hungry, or if they need changing, or if they're just restless and want to be held. Babies can communicate pretty well before they speak. This cry was none of those. It was a cry of terror. The second we heard it, my wife and I both got up out of our chairs and ran to the room. The door was locked, of course, and it took a few seconds to get the right key and get it open. My son was in the room. We lived in a bungalow, and the bastard had climbed through the window to get to her. He was standing over her crib with a steak knife in his hand. I have no idea where he got it. It wasn't one of ours. We controlled our knives very carefully and always kept them in locked drawers. I think he may have taken it from one of our neighbor's houses. He had broken her skin twice already, once in the belly area and once in her arm. I could see blood. When I entered the room, he was dragging the back of the knife down her face, not cutting, almost teasing her while she screamed. He looked up at us and smiled. Before I knew what I was doing, I was already moving, running to put myself between them. I didn't think about it, I just moved instinctively. And despite this, my wife got there before I did. It was like a movie on fast forward. She got to our son and bashed his hand away, knocking the knife across the room, and then shoved him with her whole body weight. He flew away from the crib and bounced off the wall. I picked up my daughter and held her while my wife scanned us. I could see her shaking, almost convulsing. I can remember the smell of the room, the sound of my daughter screaming and wailing, the look on my son's face as he stood there. Just nothing. Blank. Dead. There was nothing in his eyes. No emotion whatsoever. He looked like an alien to me. I watched my wife take a step toward him. I could have reached out and stopped her, but I didn't. She stepped forward again, very close to him. Again, I could have stopped her, but I didn't. Now, up until this point, you may have been picturing my wife as a typical woman, small frame, dainty, delicate. This is not the case. My wife does have a small frame, but dainty and delicate, she is not. Never has been since I've known her. Since her early teens, my wife has been a boxer. MMA did not exist back then, but karate and boxing were big in those days, and my wife was a very talented amateur. She was about 130 pounds and carried a lot of muscle, and she knew how to punch. I had 70 pounds on her back then, and I have no doubt that in a real fight between me and her, she would have pounded me flat. Neither of us had ever laid a hand on our son in anger before, but something broke in her that day. And all the years of anger and pain and sorrow and frustration just came pouring out. When she hit him, his head snapped back, and blood started pouring out of his nose. He hardly reacted. He just looked at her with this shocked expression, like he didn't know how to process what just happened. She waited another second, and then she hit him again. I could have reached out to stop her. I could have dragged her from the room, taken her away, calmed her down. But I didn't. I just stood there and watched while she systematically started to pound him into a pulp. Every time he brought his hands up to cover one part, she would blast him somewhere else. Body, head, body, over and over. He started screaming, crying out, yelling for her to stop. It was the most genuine reaction I had ever seen him have in his whole life. But she wasn't stopping. I watched her ramping up, hitting harder, faster, working him like a punching bag. He tried to swing at her, and she slipped him easily. She was on autopilot, sinking down into her training. I stood there, watching for a minute. I then turned my back on them, and took my daughter out of the room. I brought my daughter to the kitchen, and gave her a bath in the sink. I found that he had cut her a third time, on the sole of her foot. All the cuts were superficial. I cleaned her up, and held her until she calmed down, and then put some band-aids on her cuts. In our bedroom, I could hear my son screaming, calling my wife horrible names, telling her that he would cut her head off and sodomize her corpse. After a while, I didn't hear him say anything anymore. I didn't even hear him crying out. I assumed that he must have been knocked out, but I could still hear my wife beating him. That went on for a very long time, long enough for my daughter to drift off to sleep in my arms. I just sat at the kitchen table, waiting for my wife to finish. Finally, she came out and sat down across from me. Her hands were swollen and red. Her face and arms were splattered with blood. Her chest was heaving. We just stared at each other without saying anything. After a while, I asked her, "Is he dead?" She looked back at me and answered, "I fucking hope so." I nodded. That was all there was to say about it. I understood how she felt perfectly. I felt the same way. I didn't know what to do. so we just sat there waiting silently. Eventually, my wife started crying and went to go take a shower. I just stayed there holding our daughter. And after a long while, I heard moaning and sobbing coming from the room. It turned out that my son wasn't dead. I went in to see how bad it was, and it was pretty bad. I've never seen a more merciless beating in my life. He was lying on the floor, rolling around with blood leaking out of his face. His nose was squashed flat. Both of his eyes were completely swollen shut and started to blacken already. I could see a couple of his fingers were bent in weird angles, and he had also pissed his pants. I think he must have been missing some teeth, but I didn't see any on the floor, and I couldn't see the inside of his mouth either. His lips were all puffed up and swollen. From talking to my wife about it later, I know that she had systematically beaten every part of his body, focusing heavily on his lungs. She told me that she kicked him in the groin repeatedly until his legs got tired, and kept beating his body long after he passed out. When my wife came out of the shower, I still didn't know what to do about our son. I didn't know whether to call the police or an ambulance, or take him to the hospital myself. I honestly had no idea what to do. After a while, I realized that I simply didn't care what happened to him anymore. And we decided just to let him live or die on his own. There was an in-law suite in the basement that we had never really used. My wife, my daughter, and I just moved down there. We simply ceded the top floor of the house to my son and locked everything down, separating our lives entirely. There was plenty of food in the upstairs cabinets, enough for a couple of weeks or more. We had a washroom in the basement, a small kitchenette, and a separate entrance so we could just stop going upstairs. We decided that we were just done with him. I figured that we would just let his food run out and then see what happens. Over the next week, we could hear him moving around upstairs sometimes. I think he just spent most of his time lying in bed recovering. I went to work, watching on high alert in case he attacked me in the driveway, but he never did. My wife stayed home with our daughter. She was never out of her sight. One night, we heard him going ballistic, smashing and banging things all around the house. We didn't respond. He never tried to go downstairs or get near us again, though. I think he was afraid that my wife would finish the job on him. After 3 weeks down in the basement, we hadn't heard anything from above for a few days. I ventured upstairs to the main floor of the house. The place was demolished, and there was no sign of my son. He was gone. It took months to repair the damage that he had done. There was food and shit smeared all over the walls and broken glass on the floor. Big holes in the drywall. He had ripped the place apart. He tore up the linoleum in the corner of the kitchen and emptied the entire foam fire extinguisher into the living room. I just felt grateful that he didn't burn the house down. I'm still not sure why he didn't. As a kid, he wasn't shy about setting things on fire. After that, I lived in fear every day that he would come back, that he would ambush one of us out of the blue and try to kill us. We moved about 3 years later, and I finally stopped being afraid that he would show up again, as now he had no idea where we were. I finally felt safe. All of this happened a very long time ago. My son was born in the spring of 1971. My daughter was born in 1988. I am an old man now. I'll be 70 this year. And my wife passed away from cancer in 2016. My daughter is 34 years old now. I moved in with her and her husband after my wife passed. I have two granddaughters that are the joy of my life. I see a therapist a couple of times a month to talk about all of this. I don't know where my son is. The last time I saw him, he was lying on the floor, bleeding and broken. I haven't heard from him since he left. More than 30 years now, but I don't want to know. I carry a lot of guilt from that time, and a lot of conflicted emotions. I didn't beat him myself, but I allowed it to happen, and I thought he deserved it. I didn't try to kill him, but I would have been happy if he died. I will say that I do hope he was able to overcome his demons and go on to live a normal life somewhere. If he wasn't able to do that, if he stayed the way he was, then I truly do hope that someone out there killed him. And whichever way it went, I just hope he's still not out there hurting someone else. This is a true story that involves my firstborn son. He was in second grade at the time, and we were living in Tacoma, Washington. It's been 27 years since this occurred, but it still haunts me to this day. A little backstory to put these events into perspective. It was January of 1995. My son, up to this point, had been walking to and from his bus stop, which was a block and a half away from our house, located at the bottom of a steep hill. He would have to walk down in the mornings and up in the afternoons. There was an elderly man from Korea who lived across the street from us, who had been brutally murdered, which is an unrelated incident, but needless to say, tensions were high in our neighborhood around this time. We lived in a small complex with four houses, each one having their own fenced-in yard, and there was an entry gate that enclosed everything. My son used to take a shortcut through an alleyway that ran behind the houses to get to his bus stop. He had done it so many times before that it became normal, and there wasn't a worry in the world as to our son's safety, until the day in question. That day started out like any other. I woke up at around 6 to get the kids ready for school. Our second eldest was the first one to leave. He was in special ed and had to be bused across the city. Then our eldest son left the house. I watched him as he walked through the complex, then out the gate, and disappeared down the alleyway. Fast forward to the afternoon. I knew that my eldest son would be coming home soon. I was busy in the house tending to chores, when I heard a frantic knocking at my door. I opened it, and saw through the screen door that it was my next door neighbor. She had a terrified look on her face.
"Hey, what's wrong?"
She then told me that she saw someone trying to lure my son into their car. I immediately screamed for my husband, and we both ran out of the house. And to our horror, there was someone in a white sedan reaching through the driver's side window of the car, pulling my son by his shirt. If you aren't a parent, you can't imagine how terrifying this was to witness. I went ballistic while my husband ran towards the car screaming,
"Get the fuck away from my son!"
Our son managed to pull away from the driver and quickly backed against the perimeter fence. I saw that every time he went to move, the vehicle kept moving to prevent him from escaping. At this point, the neighbors that lived across the alley, who were friends with my husband, heard all the commotion, and they leapt over their fence and one sprinted to the front of the sedan while the other swept up our son into his arms and quickly brought him over to us. The assailant just sat in his car, stone silent, not moving at all. I remember staring into his soulless eyes. I had never seen so much emptiness in my life. It sent shivers down my backside. It was like looking into the eyes of the devil himself. The driver actually sat there long enough that we were able to get a complete physical description of him, the vehicle, and his license plate information. My next door neighbor called the police. But of course, by the time they got there, the man had already left the scene. It still freaks me out to think about what would have happened to our son if my next door neighbor hadn't seen what she saw that day. We might have never seen our son again. Another thing that upsets me is that right before the man took off, he pulled out one of those old Polaroid cameras and took a couple of pictures of my son. That really got under my skin. When a police officer finally came, he looked like he was fresh out of high school. I remember him eyeing me skeptically, and said that I was just being a hysterical mom. Like, what the fuck? Is that what you tell someone who just saw their son almost get kidnapped? My advice to all police is that you don't send a rookie to investigate a child abduction case. And also, don't hire fucking morons. This incident has scarred me for life. And for the longest time, I wouldn't let our son out of my sight, and I made him hold my hand everywhere we went. I went to extremes to protect my other children as well. So if you think that nothing bad can ever happen to you, please, think again, and take caution. To end things on a happy note, my son is now 35, happily married, and is a successful auto mechanic with his own shop. God bless you all, and stay safe. This happened to me when I was in 5th grade. I was a safety patrol. My job was to assist the first grade teacher dismiss the kids for the day. After I was done, I would usually go to the other side of the school, where there was a library, and I would wait there with my brother for our parents to come pick us up. To better understand what happened that day, I have to explain the layout of getting to the library from my school. I would come out of the side and walk over to a fence that separates the school from the library. There was a bush with a small space that I would usually use as a shortcut, as opposed to walking the length of the fence to get to the front entrance. When I was done helping the teacher, there was mostly nobody left in school. I was always the last one to leave, as I'm the only safety patrol who isn't picked up from school. As I approached the aforementioned shortcut, I heard a movement from somewhere nearby. And soon, a figure emerged. It was a tall, skinny man, staring at me with this crazy look in his eyes. The man appeared to be severely disheveled, as if he had just taken a nap inside of a dumpster. I was a bit freaked out because he seemed to appear out of nowhere. I started walking faster. I then heard running footsteps coming right towards me. Without looking, I began running. I made it to the bush where the shortcut was, and I forced my way through. I got a few scratches in the process, but I was still running. I finally looked behind me and saw the deranged man struggling as he made his way through the bushes. Since I was smaller, it was a lot easier for me. The man ended up getting stuck and was out of breath. I used this opportunity to make my way into the library. As soon as I was inside, I hid behind my brother, who was on the computer. He was too occupied to see that I was in a panic. The man soon appeared outside of the front doors and then made his way inside. He then began searching the aisles of books, looking for me. He turned and made direct eye contact with me, but quickly noticed my brother, who was still staring at the computer screen. The man then saw that there was other people in the library. He then flashed me a hateful look, then left. After he was gone, I told my brother everything, but he didn't believe a word of it and went back to playing on the computer. In hindsight, I now know that I should have just told someone besides my brother right when it happened, maybe a library employee or the nearest adult. When my parents came to pick us up, I told them what happened. My parents were shocked and immediately told the librarian. She picked up the phone and called the police. They arrived soon after and interviewed me. The next day, I had a meeting with a safety patrol group, and they were surprised because this school was considered one of the safest in the county. My mother was furious, and she told them from that day forward, a teacher would have to supervise me when I walked over to the library. A couple of days later, I was called into the head office during the school day. Some detectives came in to show me some surveillance footage from the library. They told me that they were doing everything they could to find the man. A kidnapper on school grounds is something that law enforcement does not mess around with, especially when the word gets out and other parents hear about it. A couple of days later, I was in the library again. waiting for my parents to come pick up my brother and I. I was reading a magazine, and I looked up, and I saw that same man. My blood ran cold. It was the same guy. I'll never forget his face as long as I live. He looked normal this time, and had a young girl with him. She wasn't acting like she was afraid of him or anything. I think she may have been his daughter. After the two of them left, I informed the librarian, who made a note of it. I haven't seen the man since that day, and we haven't got any updates from the police. Whoever he was, he either has an evil twin who tries to kidnap kids, or he lives a double life. A loving family man by day, child kidnapper by night.